Thank you, Sal. Excellent. I was visiting with a friend of mine named Bernice several years ago, and Bernice is a woman in her 80s, and by the time I got to know her, Bernice was completely blind. And not only that, to complicate life, she also had had trouble breathing, so she was tethered to an oxygen hose all of her life. She had oxygen, connected to her. And she had a long hose that was connected to an oxygen tank in her apartment so she could navigate through her entire apartment without having to move the tank. Now, one of the things that I was most concerned about Bernice is because she was blind and because she had this hose, I was always afraid that that hose would wrap itself around her feet and tangle up and she would trip and fall and need somebody's help. And so I was concerned about her. So I was visiting with her one day, and I arrived at her apartment. She asked me to go ahead and sit down. She was still finishing up with the kitchen dishes from the morning. She was drying them, putting them away in her cupboard. And afterwards, she said, "Bill, can you help me with something?" I thought, of course, and I watched her move her way through the kitchen, around her kitchen chairs, into the living room, around her couch, all the way back into her bedroom, and she moved seamlessly through this apartment. You see, she had created a mental picture in her map of where everything was in her life. Now, believe me, if somebody came along and made a cruel joke for her, they could have gone in and moved all of her furniture and really messed her up and changed her routine, and that would have really messed everything up for Bernice. And whenever I turned on the TV in her apartment, I had to make sure I put the remote control back in the place it was supposed to go, because Bernice would let me know, you put things back where they belong. And it's true. But as she walked her way through the apartment, I looked at the floor on the ground, and I could see a well-tread path. She didn't deviate at all from her path, day in and day out. She knew how to get her way around the apartment, and you could see the tread marks on the ground from where she walked. She came back out of her bedroom with a little CD player in her hand. She told me, she said, "Bill, my old CD player is broken, and I've got a brand new one. Would you help me to figure out which buttons I need to push to play my CDs?" And she had a copy of the church service on CD in her hand. I was happy to do so, and so I started showing her how to work the new CD player, and there I looked at through. There was a stack of CDs next to her chair sitting there of other things she listened to. I was impressed. Most of them were books on tape, and so I asked her, I was like, "Bernice, tell me about all of these books on tape." And she said, "Well, I used to love to read, but when I lost my eyesight, I thought that perhaps that was going to end for me. But then my daughter took me to the library and showed me how I could check out all of these books that I've always wanted to read. Now I can listen to them." I looked through the stack, and most of them were not the classics, things that she would have known from a long time ago, but rather they were modern novels. They were modern biographies of modern people, and she was staying current with everything that was happening in life. And there in the stack of CDs was some music CDs of also modern rock, and I was like, "Bernice, tell me about this music choice that you have here." One of them was the band The Foo Fighters, which I've seen this band in concert, but I was like, for a woman in her 80s, really, The Foo Fighters? And so I asked her, she's like, "Oh, well, my grandson left this at my house one day by accident." And I picked it up thinking it was my books on tape, and I put it into the CD player, and you better believe I was pretty surprised when I started listening to it. She's like, "But you know what? As I tried to turn it off, I kept skipping ahead, and I found out that I really like song number 4. Remember, she can't read the names of the songs. All she knows is that she skipped 4 times ahead. And she says, "Since I told my grandson that I liked song number 4, he's like, if you like it, you can keep it." And she's like, "And now I put it on just to keep the neighbors guessing what's going on inside of my apartment." And I laughed about it with her, and she's like, but she said to me, she's like, "Bill, so much of my life is set. So much of my life has to be a routine. That my music and my books, they're the new things in life. They're the things that help to provide inspiration." So what is something new that you have tried in life? How long has it been since you have gone someplace you've never been before? I think about my own music choices and the stuff that I listen to. I'll probably tell you, I like a lot of modern music, but I look back through my music library, and most of my modern music is 25 years old. It's stuff that I listened to back in the mid-90s. And I think about my own son's music and stuff he wants to put on, and I tell him, I was like, oh, what is this new garbage that's out there? And I realize that, goodness, that after a certain age, we start to get set in our ways, set in the things that we think are good, set in the things that we want to do for our own lives. But then I remember Bernice, who likes the Foo Fighters at age 80. And I think perhaps not all of my son's music is garbage. And perhaps some of the music that I listen to isn't so great. So when is the last time that you have tried something new in your life? I was having a conversation again with Mildred Pruitt this morning, and it was based on a conversation we had months ago. Now, Mildred told me that midway through life, I think you said when you were 36, Mildred, you tried something brand new in your life. She discovered that she was really good at selling real estate. And because she was really good, she went and worked really hard to go and get her real estate license. I think partway through life, like I said, we start to get set in our ways. It's almost like we step into a swimming pool full of cement, and we feel that cement solidifying and hardening around our feet. And it takes a lot of effort to pull your feet up out of the cement and to go and go new places and to try new things. But I've got a great deal of admiration for Mildred, who at the age of 36 pulled her feet up out of that swimming pool full of cement and tried something new. And because she did, she discovered several decades worth of inspiration that lifted up her life and made life really awesome. When's the last time you've tried something new in your own life? Cindy and I are reading a book, or we're starting to look through a book. It's called Art and Soul Reloaded. It's about living a life that is full of inspiration or remaining inspired for life. And what the book of the author does is they challenge you on a weekly basis to try brand new things or to break the routines of life. They're very simple challenges, simple things that any of us can do. And so it's not like something that it's like, you know, asking me to parachute out of an airplane like George Bush. It's not going to be something I do. It's like baking cookies. Now, many of you might say, well, goodness, I bake cookies all the time. That would be nothing new for you. But for Cindy and I, that would be something pretty new for us, unless it's those pre-made, pre-formed cookies you just stick in the oven. As a matter of fact, I baked my first cake I've ever baked in my life yesterday for Noah's birthday party. I'll let you know if it's any good by the end of the afternoon. Other things is to simply look for ways to break your routine. If you're used to sleeping in, learn to get up a little earlier. Go outside, sit and watch in quiet and solitude, the sun rising in the morning. These little things cause us, when we try new things, inspiration begins to flow in our life. And when it flows from one place of life to the next. Bernice discovered that her inspiration flowed from her apartment into a relationship that she could have with her grandson because she tried brand new music that she discovered was something that she liked as well. So again, when have you tried something brand new in your life? Now, the scripture passage that was selected this week is part of the common lectionary. And when we're in between worships or in between sermon series, what we typically do is we use the common lectionary to lead worship. And every now and then you get a scripture passage that you have preached on over and over and over again for years after years. And so when I saw this passage about the rich young ruler, I've got to tell you, I kind of dreaded it. I've preached on this sermon at least 18 times in my life, and what else can you possibly say about this sermon and this about this scripture passage? And so when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with it? You know, this passage about the rich young man who had done everything that he needed to do in life. He followed every commandment, he followed every law, he had dotted his I's, he crossed his T's, and he asked Jesus, what else do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Well, I've got to thank Mildred, and I need to thank Bernice and my wife Cindy, because these three women have inadvertently helped me to see this passage with new eyes. I think about Jesus' response to this rich young man. And he tells him, he says, go back to what you know and get rid of everything that you know. Sell your vast wealth and come and follow me and try something new. Now, the way that I used to read this passage was a guy went away sad because he must have liked his stuff. He liked his money more than he liked Jesus. I mean, that's the simple reading of it. But with new eyes, I was able to see it this past week that perhaps there's something more going on that connects to each and every one of us. That we all get stuck in our own routines. And we hold on to those routines for dear life. But Jesus says, come with me and try something new. And so when I looked at this rich young man and I was re-looking at it with new eyes, what stood out to me to begin with was that he was young. And he was awfully young to be already set in his ways. When was it in your life when you started to become set in your ways? You'd established your routine of life and you said, nothing is ever going to change. This is the way life will be. Like I said, and then the converse of that question is, when have you tried to do things differently in life and tried something new? Now, the second part of that is that Jesus tells him, he says, go and try something new in life. Or in essence, he asks several different questions of all of us. You see, when we find ourselves stuck in the routines of life, it's then that life starts to become a rut. And nobody wants to live in the ruts of life. But Jesus never calls us to live uninspired lives. He doesn't call us to more of the same. He says, come with me and experience life brand new. So I can imagine he also said along the way as part of the sermon that perhaps it did not get recorded. I like to imagine Jesus saying this to the rich young man. You know all sorts of things in life. You know sickness. You've seen people get sick. You feel it, experience sickness yourself. But have you ever wondered what it means to be made whole? Well, come with me and find out. And you walk really fine across land, but have you ever tried to do the impossible? Have you ever chosen to walk on water? If not, come with me and give it a shot. You've seen the hungry. You've seen the multitudes. But have you ever taken 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and fed a whole host of hungry, seeking hearts? If not, come and follow me and become a part of making it happen in this world. And all of us know death. All of us have been touched by death. We feel our own bodies get growing weaker as we grow older. So we know an awful lot about death. But would you ever consider being set free from the tomb? Come and follow me, and let me teach you about a new thing called resurrection. Friends, Christ doesn't call us to more of the same. Christ is calling us to come and follow him to places that we have never been before. And so Cindy and I are reading through this book, and if we discover some things, some challenges that we think would be helpful for our church, we may try them out with you. But ask yourself, when is the last time I've tried something brand new? When is the last time I've gone to a place I've never been before? And would you be willing to try something new if it meant that your life would be inspired? Would you be willing to chisel your feet out of your little cement pool if it meant going someplace and being inspired by a place you've never been before in Christ's name? This is Christ calling to each of us. That if we continue doing the same old thing, if we keep going the same old routines, inspiration will leak out of our lives like we're a faulty gas tank until we find ourselves exhausted and empty and stalled. But rather, Christ calls us to something new. Come and follow me, he says, and experience life in a new way. Experience things that you have never seen before. Bernice did that. With no sight and tethered to an oxygen tank, she allowed inspiration to flow from her apartment into the life and the relationship she shared with her grandson and experienced a new and more beautiful relationship with him. That's exactly what inspiration does. It flows from one part of life into the next. And so it's my hope is that we jumpstart the inspiration that all of us can experience in life. Don't you want to live inspired lives as long as you possibly can? I know I do. To allow the inspiration to flow from our own life into our marriages, into our workplaces, into our relationships beyond the church, into our faith, into the world around us. Christ is calling us into that beautiful and inspired world. Leave behind the stuff that you know. Experience something new in Christ's name. Let the inspiration flow. Amen. Will you please stand for our closing worship?